That's funny. I want to thank Rachel for giving me the keys to this car. I promise I won't crash it too badly. And I noticed that I think everybody that I'm related to is here. I feel like that kid in kindergarten who's the tree in the play, and all the grandparents have to come and look at the little kid be a tree. So I decided, you know, what am I going to talk about? And I can only talk about what I know, because I'm no theologian. I don't know the Bible backwards and forwards. I'm just a guy, right? So let's start a little bit. My first question to you all, it's called the last word. My first question, I want you to call it out. Why are you here? I'm sorry.
Fellowship.
Worship.
Faith.
To see if I wore long pants. What else?
Service.
Love.
Redemption.
I love that one. What else?
To learn.
Okay, so you need to leave then. So, you know, there are 168 hours in a week. And forgive me, but if this is the extent of our worship and community with God is 1 hour a week, that's 1 over 168. And any mathematician would tell you that's a small fraction. That we are obliged to do a bunch more stuff in the course of our week than we do just here. A dear friend of mine and I were having a conversation, and he said during COVID, he felt separated from God because we didn't have any house groups. And I said, well, are you reading your Bible? And he said, well, no. So we have an obligation. All right, so in case you're interested, why people go to church, the number one reason is for their children to become a better person. That one's sort of confusing to me. I don't really know what that means. Comfort in times of trouble, I certainly get that. They find sermons valuable. Family's religious tradition. Even when I was not living a Christian life, I still went to church because it was habit. Because Sunday feels different than Saturday to me. To meet new people or socialize, and to shut their spouse up. All right. Those are the CEM people, you know, the Christian Easter or the Christmas Easter and Mother's Day. So I've got a short video to show you, and if you would please play that video, I would appreciate it.
Speak to me.
We're not going to play the end of that. All right. There we go. So, his name is Bluto in the movie Animal House. So, could you restart that, please? Bluto was me. And I suspect that Bluto might be some of other people in here. Start it again, and I'm going to tell you to stop if you don't mind, please. Okay, stop. So, if we use the analogy that the cafeteria line is the Bible, and we're going down the cafeteria line, and man, oh man, that pray for people who persecute you, I'm skipping over that one. But I sure like all of those, thou shalt not murder. That's an easy one. I can load up on that. But look up here, he left a bunch of love your enemies. See, that's not the choice. It's an all or nothing type thing, and that's all we'll do on that, so I don't need. So there's this not very nice phrase called cafeteria Christians. And cafeteria Christians are the people who come here once a week, 1 hour a week, and they think that that gets their passport stamped. Typically attends Christian services on Sundays, but is presumed or witnessed not to adhere to the doctrines or rules of the religion. So how easy is it for me, or for maybe some of you all, to go through this Bible, and some of those things seemed almost impossible to do. So we just leave them out. I've got the easy ones. I'm not too challenged, right? So today we're going to talk about the Great Commission, which is sort of Jesus' ultimate thing because he's leaving. It's the last words that he says. And at the, okay, I'm a former middle school teacher, so this is all going to make sense to you at the end because it looks like I'm skipping around. I'm not. I promise you there's a method to this madness. So some famous last words throughout history. This is for my dear friend Chris and my dear friend Daryl. They asked Buddy Rich when he was going back to surgery what he couldn't take, and he said, country music. Tallulah Bankhead, actress. Do you want anything? Yeah, I'll take codeine and bourbon. The last one is my favorite. It's Niccolò Machiavelli. He's a diplomat. He just said, I desire to go to hell and not to heaven. In the former, I shall enjoy the company of popes, kings, and princes. While in the latter are only beggars, monks, and apostles. So Jesus's admonition to us is a commission. And a commission is authority granted to somebody to do a job. That's the first definition. Authority from Christ to do a job. So if you all could read this with me with some chutzpah, I'd appreciate it. I'm the only person who reads the Bible in Greek in here. Seriously? Can you play it? We're having some audio difficulties. If you can't, that's okay. I can move on. Don't worry about it then. Don't worry about it. So, this commission.
Peruthentes un, matatusate, panta, ta, etme, baptizantes autus, eis ta anima, tu patras, kai tu uiu, kai tu agiu, numitas, didascontes, autus, terrain, panta, osa, ene tai lamen, humin.
That's good.
Kai idu.
Nobody knows what he's
ego,
saying. The end.
Met humon.
You can't speak that in, if you go to panta. Athens now. All right, so the Great Commission. I just wanted to hear what Greek sounded like. I thought it was pretty cool. Now we can read this, Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Now the first 16 is often left out of the Great Commission. And 16 is the commission. Everybody read along. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the ends of the earth." All that I have commanded you. Not Jell-O and chocolate pie. Pie. All that I have commanded you. Yeah, it gets tough. So, broken down so that even I can understand it. Jesus gave all of his authority to us, and he chose a bunch of fishermen. If this were today, they'd be longshoremen, you know. They'd have the tattoo of the hula dancer on their forearm, and when they squeezed their fist, she would dance. You know, they had steel-toed boots and dirty blue jeans, hard hats. These are the guys Jesus chose. He didn't go into the synagogues. He didn't choose the Sadducees or the Pharisees who knew the Bible backwards and knew the Torah backwards and forwards. He chose, like, Joe, Tom. He chose us. He chose engineers, and he chose nurses, and he chose physical therapists, and he chose lawyers. Why? I don't know. He chose us. And he gave us all authority. He did not say, watch what God can do through you. He said, you can do it. So he said, all that I've commanded you. And what does that really mean? What are Jesus' commands? Well, we know two, right? But sort of like the Ten Commandments, where the first three are about your relationship with God, the next seven are about your relationship with everybody else. Well, Jesus' commands are the same way. So his commands are about God. Love God with all your heart. Do things because you want to serve God. Humble yourself. Follow Jesus. Pray. Don't worry. Trust God. But it's the next ones that start getting tough in that cafeteria. The next ones. Love your neighbor. Love each other. Love your enemies. Be humble. Pray for those who persecute you. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those that curse you. Oh, it gets worse. Don't judge. Don't condemn. Good Lord. Think about our political state now. Think about the hot button issues with the border, with vaccinations, with our president, with our former president. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. I swear, man. Teach new disciples. That's the commission. Teach new disciples everything I've commanded you. So, just like everything in Christianity, there's a conflict. What does go mean? You think it was Bill Clinton who was, well, it depends on what is, right? What does go mean? Because is it an imperative? It can be an imperative. Go. Stop. Turn. Quiet. Go. So if go is an imperative, it means drop what you're doing, find a location, and go to make disciples. Because the participles are the things that we do. We make disciples, we baptize, and we teach. It's in that order. Now, other people believe that go is not an imperative. Go means while you're going, at your school, in the courthouse, at your office, while you are going, make disciples, baptize, and teach. And how do we do that? There are only two ways we can do that. First off is the great hymn, "I know we are Christians by our love." The second one is, you can't do anything in Christ's name without building a relationship with that person. This is not holy water where you sprinkle it on them and I'm cured. You've got to spend the time developing that relationship with that person. And I know firsthand, and I'm going to show you how I failed miserably at that. So what do these mean? Well, now I need my notes. Daryl said, Vance, you better have notes. If you don't have notes, you're just going to talk and talk and talk. All right, go. We talked about it. Drop what you're doing and find a location and go. Go to Kenya with eyeglasses. Go to the Dominican. Or go to work. And so we're Methodists. We can't baptize. If you didn't know we're Methodists, we're Methodists. And John Wesley says that baptism is one of the things reserved for the people with all the alphabet soups behind their name. But we can build a relationship with somebody enough that they want to come to church and be baptized. Teaching. Wow. You know, I don't know enough about the Bible to teach. Well, you probably know more than you think. You have an elevator story? Remember that story about elevator stories? You got an elevator story? You got a two-minute story about how you were lost and now you're found? Now, I'm not saying you pop out off in an elevator. You'll probably get arrested. But you should have that story for somebody who may want to hear what it is that you've been going through. Why are you who you are now? How is it that you can possibly deal with the loss of a child, a divorce, a huge sorrow in your life without the love of Christ in your life? And when they watch the way in which you deal with that, they'll say, what is that? I want some. Because you know that crap's going to happen, right? It's a guarantee. All of us are going to end up in these valleys at some point. It's how we handle those valleys through the power of Christ that helps us be redeemed and healed from that terrible loss. So there's this lady. She took the imperative, go. Her name's Jackie Pullinger. And she was in London, Church of England. And she went to her Bible study classes, sort of like Wesley Knight, you know. And she went to church on Sundays, and it wasn't enough. And her faith was so strong that she said, all right, Lord. She gathered all her stuff together. She sold everything. She got on a ship. And she said, God will tell me when to get off this ship. Now, this is faith like a mustard seed, isn't it? And where did the ship stop?
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. And she went to the, she didn't speak a word of Cantonese. She didn't know the currency. She didn't know the culture. And she went in the walled city, which is like the pit of everything. That's where the madams are and the drug lords and the pimps and the child prostitutes. That's where the filth of the filth is. And she started administering to these people. And so she says, I think everyone's called to the poor. Poor need help. They need food. Everyone. Now, this is her. Remember, she was the imperative go, not while going. She was go. You think the church is sending out enough? She said, that's not my, I don't worry about that. But I love the last line of that quote. We're going to feel stupid for eternity if we wasted this one. Because my belief is that when we die, Jesus is going to have the VHS, or beta, because it's better. He's going to have the beta version of our life on tape, and he's going to play it in front of us, and he's going to stop it, and he's going to say, what about that? And somehow we're going to have to file or defend that decision or that action or that word. Daryl has a great line in a song. And this is the redemption song, isn't it? About angels come down just to be entertained. Are you driven? No, I'm led. I pray to God and he leads me. What's the difference? Addicts are driven. The Holy Spirit leads. So some selections from her about frustrations that we're going to face if we find ourselves involved in this. You won't drown. If you've begun to care for the poor in your city, the person in prison, the woman who sleeps in the park, the person who sleeps in their car, keep going. Your heart will be broken. You'll feel overwhelmed. But be patient. Approach your ministry with the knowledge that God will bring a harvest. Don't give up. The poor person may not understand your Bible. He may not be able to fill in the blanks of the booklet or even read it. But if you love him and you're faithful in the long haul, even after he lets you down, cusses at you, swears to you, or doesn't come around, know that it's your faithfulness that will lead him to understand that you're also trustworthy. We'll address that in a second. You can't do anything on your own. Guys, how many times have we heard that here? We're just hands and feet, right? Run the race marked out for you. You can't run my race, and I can't run yours. We're going to talk about how you know. Don't compare yours with anyone. If you started ministering to the unlovely, if you started ministering with the poor, and they haven't come to the Lord, and you haven't seen any numbers, don't worry about it. It's not your decision. On the last one, it doesn't matter if you don't see any results. He didn't decide to die when we put up our hand to accept him. Okay, now I'll die. He died anyway. It doesn't matter if you see the results or not. I know a couple of people in here who are middle school teachers, and we don't see results. That's that funny thing about middle school. We send them off to ninth grade. We don't see the results or how well they were prepared. That's what seniors, that's what the teachers in senior high school see. We don't get to see that. All right, so how do you know what to do? Well, I happen to be an encourager and a server. The Holy Spirit gave all of us a skill. And you don't have mine and I don't have yours, and that's perfect. Because we need hands and fingers and wrists and forearms and knees and feet and ears and eyes. So how do you know? Well, there are lots of ways. You can go to the Revolution website. I believe it's still there. It used to be. Or I just went online. Well, that's small. So I'll read it to you. Anyway, these are just questions when you take a spiritual gifts test. And what they do is they ask you 50, 60, 80, a bazillion questions. I don't know. And they ask, a lot of the questions are the same, but they ask them in different ways to sort of weed out your mood, how the question was phrased. And then at the end of that, it gives you like your answers. It's a Christmas miracle. Thank you. It gives you your answers. So I have an unusually strong desire to study God's word. Almost always, occasionally, not very often. If I were to teach a group, I'd prefer to deal with topics rather than verse-by-verse studies. So you can go online. Just do a spiritual gifts test or spiritual gifts inventory. That's a better word. And it will help you find out what it is that you're good at. And you may not know. You think those fishermen knew that they were going to start or spread an entirely new faith tradition? We cannot have church without a Frederick Bonhoeffer quote. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, sorry. It's a requirement. God is not ashamed of the lowliness of human beings. He marches right in. He chooses people. All of us are chosen in some form or fashion to do something. He chooses people as his instruments and performs his wonders where people would least expect them. God is near to lowliness. He loves the lost, the neglected, the unseemly, the weak and broken. You think if Jesus came by today, he's going to the big fancy church? Where'd he hang out? As far as I know, he went to synagogue twice. One time was to knock over tables. Another time he was 12 years old and he's teaching everybody what the word was. The rest of the time, Jesus was hanging out with them, the funky people. John, I am sending you just as the Father has sent me. We're sent. We're called to be sent. But we have to listen on what we're called to do while we're sent. Saint Teresa of Avila, Christ has no body but yours. He has no hands or no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks compassion into the world. Yours are the feet with which Christ walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which Christ blesses the world. It's us. It's not Rachel or Daryl or Micah. They're three people. Look at us. We're 100 strong. It's us. And if you're only using 1 hour a week to fulfill your church obligation, you're falling short. You're missing the boat. And forgive me, I'm not trying to. Just trying to be polite. And then our guy, John Wesley. Our ministry to the poor becomes a means of grace by which God does his work in us. It becomes a way by which God perfects us in his love and makes us Christ-like. All right. So this is not a Popeil pocket fisherman sales pitch. What I'm getting ready to do is not an infomercial. Again, I'm just a guy. And I can only talk about what I know. And what I know is this. Wrong way. They have an interesting thing in the homeless camps. There's like a mayor and a chief of police. Hey, there we go. All right. Yeah, I'm going to show you some pictures. Oh, the clip broke. All right. This one, oh, no, this isn't the one. Another burned out tent. This one. She's gone now, but she traveled with her mom's dishes. Those were the things to her that were the most important. Her mom's dishes. This was at CSX at the end of Liberty Street. The train company moved them away because they thought somebody would pass out on the tracks and die. This guy's got a better storm door than me. This is their daily existence. First time Jason went with us, we did the underpasses. My God, you can't believe them. We don't go to the underpasses anymore because they're served by other people. You know, and before I started doing this, this was all invisible. I never saw it. I drove right past. Now, when I see the guy with the cardboard sign on the corner, you know, please donate, God bless you. He says, hey, Vance. And then he goes, oh, my God, you got more homeless friends than you do normal people. Why they have an above-ground swimming pool ladder has been a topic of discussion for a while, but they do. There used to be a camp from down the street from the old Girl Scout store on Lexington Road. They had a Circle K sign. Yeah, you done messed up, A.A. Ron. Going through his stuff. So, this was on a wall. I wish I could forgive my father. I wish she and I could have stayed in love. I wish my best partner didn't go buy the heroin and that he was here with me today. This is right behind the table in Pearistown. Frank?
So this is Isaiah 43, verses 10 through 11. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. For me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. Yes, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior.
This is spray painted on a pylon at about 11th Street and right underneath I-64. That used to be the largest existing camp in town. There used to be a camp where the soccer stadium is. They moved them out. Then there used to be a camp where they're building the parking lot for the botanical gardens. They moved them out. Then a lot of them moved to Preston Highway behind the Super 8 Motel. They're getting ready to move them out. And when we drive down Jefferson Street, we don't like seeing them, do we? Crap on the sidewalk. We've got tourists coming in for Derby. All the bourbon tours. Oh, what's this dump? We don't like seeing them, do we? What do? Well, Jesus tells us what we do. We love the least. They stink. They're foul. Their language sometimes is horrendous. But they hug you and say, God bless you. Thank you very much. This is still at this is at the Goodwill right across from Pearistown on Broadway. We don't go there anymore because we were sort of threatened. So, sort of what service looks like. We pop down the gate. We lay out a table. Again, this is not an infomercial. I'm not looking for stuff. Please. Lay out a table, and we distribute stuff to the people. We give them Kroger bags, and it's sort of like going through a line, and they go through, and they get propane and water and everything else. So this has been real ugly. So to lighten it, I just wanted to put a picture of my granddaughter with a diaper on her head. This has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but I thought maybe we could use some sort of stress relief. I did. Well, it depends. Catherine told me the other day at the zoo, she asked a lady who wasn't pregnant, I love the baby inside you. Yeah, she's three. She can do that stuff. All right, so back to the real world now. Everybody feel better? Yeah. Sort of got that washed off a little bit? All right. Everywhere. Every Friday, the city comes down and does needle exchanges. Big deal. Sometimes guys don't know how high they are, and when they come to my truck, they've got a syringe behind their ear like a carpenter's pencil. And they go, oh gosh, and they put it away because there's a Now, here's where my failure came in big time. When we started this mission 5 years ago, I had tons of supplies, and I would go out with one other guy, and we'd go to all these camps because he had been homeless for 5 years in Louisville, and he knew where they all are. And we would go to these camps, and I'd shove all the stuff at him, and I'd say, okay, we got to go, because my comfort level was in the negatives. And then you go home, and you pay yourself, yeah, I did something good today. And then I realized that we have to start building relationships if we're going to start making disciples. So now we sit and we talk. And some of the stuff is some pretty odd stuff. We're dealing with PTSD, mental illness, drug addiction, alcoholism, you can imagine. But we listen. And now they say, hey, how y'all doing? Man, you guys make the best burritos in town. So my mentor in this, his name's Daryl Glass. He's an associate at Fern Creek United Methodist. And he goes out 5-6 nights a week. So I don't know why. Well, I do know why. It's the Holy Spirit. So I'm lying in bed at 5 in the morning. And I think, what about if we started doing communion? So I called Daryl and he goes, that's a great idea. Could have had a V8. Why didn't I think of that? And so, since we're good Methodists, sometimes you may see a box of oyster crackers and some Welch's grape juice on the bottom shelf over here. And so, when all the official apostolic succession people bless our communion on top, they're also blessing our communion that we take with us in the morning. So, the first time was this. We're at 13th and Broadway behind a dollar store. And I said, would you like to take communion? And she said, oh, I've done too many things wrong to take communion. And man, that's like a tater in baseball parlance, right? That's a 60-mile-an-hour fastball right down the center. Any of us can tell that story. There's nothing you can do to separate yourself from God's love. And she just cried and cried and cried. Obviously, pre-pandemic. Beautiful wife serving, offering communion to some pretty funky people. Last one of me. I started crying at that one because there was a line. I guess I am a crier. So, whatever. And then this lady, she cracked up too. This is an airport property on Jefferson Street, right off Preston Highway. And she went to rehab, haven't seen her since. She was living in a car. They've since stripped the car. So this lady, some of y'all will recognize Ivory Hall. She used to worship here for a couple of years. Ivory had a brain tumor. And she survived. So she said, I want to go with you. And this is, again, another example of my cowardice and failure. When I asked people if they wanted to take communion, I only asked people who I thought would say, why, yes. I didn't ask everybody. I didn't ask that guy who's got leg scabs or who hadn't had on shoes in 2 weeks, who's maybe has a pentagram tattooed on his arm somewhere. Dice tattooed on next to his eye. I didn't ask them. I only asked the people who I thought would say yes. And Ivory said, I'm going to ask everybody. And daggone, the people who said yes, I never, ever would have assumed that they would take communion. This guy. That means you've killed somebody on the tattoo in prison. Neil and Jason. Every week, man. Every week. Debbie Clark, she's something else. So I'm your lay leader. I bet some of y'all didn't even know that. What's a lay leader? Well, I'm not really sure. Methodist churches have to have a lay leader. And there's a line on your paperwork, lay leader. And so our former minister said, hey, you want to be lay leader? I said, sure, what do I do? And he said, nothing, I got this. Because I was lay leader at our other church. I've been lay leader now for, 11 years here, about 16 years. Well, Debbie said, because a lay leader is supposed to be the conduit between you all and, not the administration, but you know them, the suits. And she said, well, you're doing a crappy job. I said, you're right. So I'm trying to do better. But in a church this size, you know, Daryl and Micah and Rachel are so open that if you have an issue, you can go to them. Lay leader is really designed for big churches. But we had to have one, so... All right, and here's the last thing I have to say. Service is a funny thing. Because either you want to or you don't. And either you're comfortable doing it or you're not. And if you're not comfortable doing it, that's okay. You can get comfortable because I got comfortable. But this guy does more in service than anybody I've ever met. Kendall, stand up and turn around so everybody will recognize you from the back, please. He's wheeling a guy who I'm convinced we're going to find dead one day. He wheeled him out to the truck. We loaded him up with the supplies, and Kendall's wheeling him back to his tent. He's a mess. He doesn't have long in this world. But Kendall didn't ask, hey, can I give you a push? You just started pushing. So what I'd like to do is, you know, all I do is organize. I'm just the guy who organizes. The people who do this amazing work every day, many of whom are here, if you all would stand up for a second, please. Just stand up if you serve with us. Just stand up. Jason, stand up. So if you all have any questions about what it is we do, talk to them. Because they're the people who really, do the remarkable work every week. Dear Lord, thank you so much for a community of believers. Nobody walked out. And we're just so humbled and grateful for all of the gifts that you constantly give us many times we don't even see. We're so humbled before you. We ask this in all Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, Tess. All right. So look, you're going to have the opportunity over and over and over again to find out what it is you're good at in order to further God's kingdom. So I encourage you to look for that, to take the little evaluation, and be the revolution.
Guys, Rachel will be back next week. Keep her in your prayers. Go out and be the church. Have a great week.